BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Well, it's hello from me and hello from them.
Oh, hi, Annie.
Hello, Leslie. In the doorway.
Thank you so much for coming to take me out.
It's so lovely to meet you.
And you too.
It's raining.
It's raining. No, surely not.
I believe that you want to go to Grasmere.
Yes,
is that right?
Do you think we could do the walk by the river as well,
yeah,
please?
Absolutely.
And I'd love to look around the gift shops quite a bit.
Okay, so there's quite a few gift shops.
And thank you.
Oh, looking forward to it.
I wouldn't be able to do this without you, baby.
Oh, no, that'd be brilliant.
I've always thought holidays were problematic when you're blind. Of course, we all want a break and a change of scene, just like anybody else. But so much of coping comfortably with blindness is about creating your own familiar environment, whereas holidays, by definition, are all about the unfamiliar. That's the point. Which is why this idea of having your own dedicated guide on holiday is so potentially appealing, especially if you're in a situation where you have to take your break on your own. Later, we'll be meeting the two people who came up with this idea. But first, let's meet volunteer guide Leslie Postlethwaite and visually impaired holiday maker Ellie Bennett, pottering around a picturesque village in the Lake District.
On the left, you've got a little gift shop called the Grasmere Weavers.
Oh.
And there's a rather large concrete sheep outside. Do you want to come in?
Yes, please.
First one,
sheep.
So we're going to pat it on
the
head.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you were at the back end of the sheep, Peter.
Typical.
So we're just about to go inside.
Nice.
Oh, well, down there, you found the squiffiest, squashiest little cow.
Is he a cow? All right.
Have you got any sheep down here like that?
Oh, that is the most gorgeous little sheep.
Oh, that is amazing.
So that's like a little bally black nose.
Oh, isn't he gorgeous? Oh. Peter, do you want to have a look at this sheep?
Oh, go on, Mick.
Do you even talk to me?
I wanted to go to the Lake District because I'd had an email from Windermere Manor Hotel and I thought, oh, what a nice idea, because we spend a lot of time in the Lake District.
There's a personal reason why you
want to come. Yeah, very personal, because my husband died 3 years ago and there was a walk I wanted to do especially down to the lake because we used to like to do that walk. So I rung up Windermere Manor and they told me about this volunteer scheme. There's no way I'd do a holiday on my own without this scheme. I wouldn't even stay at Windermere Manor on my own because, you know, you want to get out, you don't want to stay up in your room all day. And my mobility is fine in my local area, but I'm out of my comfort zone here, totally. This has been opening a huge door for me.
Oh, it's just gorgeous walking around here. It's
in the rain.
So, no, it's lovely. It's so Grasmere-y. It just speaks to me.
Good.
You know,
no, it's
mean?
A beautiful place.
Mm.
So, can you smell it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got a whiff. Get a whiff of that gingerbread.
So it's the most gorgeous little cottage. It's got a little green gate and the signs about Grasmere gingerbread. And then when we get inside, the ladies have their traditional dress on with the little mob caps.
That's cool.
And it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that's really nice, isn't it? That's
going to be £5.20.
Okay, who makes the gingerbread?
We've got bakers just now.
Oh, I'm lovely. Might well come back on our way by again, you never know.
Well, we thought it was time we sheltered from the rain and actually came inside and got some coffees, but it's a good opportunity to talk to Leslie and Ellie a little more. Leslie, what interests me is how you got involved in this in the first place.
I lost some family members and I wanted to be able to care for people, and what appealed to me with this is I love being outdoors, so if I can share that being outdoors with somebody was what fascinated me.
Was that what you were expecting, that most of the people you got would maybe like to, you know, harumph up hills and... that sort of thing.
At some point, I would like to be able to take somebody, you know, up a hill and describe the view to them. But actually, it's just so nice to be outside describing what you're seeing, whether it's on the way past shops, coffee houses, up hills, or anywhere, really.
What actually is the process? Because presumably there are various hoops to go through before you actually guide someone.
I had to have compulsory training. It was quite interesting because the person who set up the business is blind herself. So my first experience was actually leading them across the hotel room. And then we got paired up, were blindfolded, and we were given tasks to do. It was very useful training, very good.
I'm interested in that whole thing about guiding because, of course, blind people, we're not all the same as each other. We don't all want to be guided the same way. Was that conveyed to you? Because sometimes people are inclined to say there's a book of rules and that's what you abide by.
To a degree, we have been given the rules, but for me, I would want to know about the person anyway, whether they're happy to be led from either side or whether they want you to talk all the time about the scenery or they don't. So it's a matter of getting to know each person.
Well, it is quite interesting because you two only met a couple of hours ago. You seem to have got on with each other very quickly.
Well, we had a good natter on the phone at first, didn't we? And, you know, it was good. I just felt, yeah, we're going to get on fine because we laugh. If you can laugh, you're good. The information I have been given from both Leslie today and the couple that took me out yesterday has been really, really useful. So, you know, it's great.
And tell me a bit about yesterday, because that was quite different to this and very specific, wasn't it? What did you do?
Well, I went, first of all, for a walk from the hotel down to the lake. And my husband and I used to like to do that walk, so I really wanted to do that. And then we went to a farm and there was all these goats, and I love goats. So I had a wonderful time stroking the goats. And then we met an alpaca as well, and that was interesting because the fur on an alpaca is like a carpet. It's unbelievable. It's so soft compared to the kind of wiriness of the goats.
And I guess that's just the kind of thing that, had you been on your own, you just wouldn't have known was available, basically.
No way. I mean, even going around the shops. If I go around shops locally, I need to know what I want. I can't just browse very easily. Especially these days, I might think I'm nicking stuff.
Okay, we'll leave you in peace, but thank you both very much indeed.
Well, thank you very much for coming around with us. It's been nice.
So that's what happened when Leslie met Ellie. But where did this idea come from? Well, it's no coincidence that the two schemes currently operating are based in Devon and the Lake District, where two hotels, one in Windermere, one in Tynmouth, formerly catered specifically for blind and partially sighted visitors. This is no longer the case, but two people, Julian Griffin in Devon and Lee Hodgson in the Lakes, have carried elements of this on. And they join me now. Julian, first of all, just explain a bit more about how the idea for your service, the Clifton Buddies, came about, because it is kind of connected with the hotels, isn't it?
Very much so. I, very much like Ellie from your piece, I was wanting to go on holiday independently without having to rely on sighted members of my family or friends. So I was waiting for something to happen. I just thought, someone's going to organise this. And in about 2023, I thought, well, if you want this done, you're going to have to come up with some idea yourself. And I've got no experience of charity work or anything like that. For selfish reasons, I thought, well, how am I going to create something that will provide sighted guide help? So I just took to social media, really, in the Tynmouth area, and was astounded by the response I had from local people who really wanted to get involved.
So there were a lot of other people waiting for somebody to do something then?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, friends, people I know within the visually impaired community, were in the same boat. And I mean, you can go to the most accessible hotel in the world, but if you can't get out and about, you know, on your own, it's like being in the Big Brother house, isn't it? You know, you're stuck there.
So are the hotels still involved in any way? Because you mentioned the hotels and Ellie was staying at the Windermere Manor.
Well, that's it. I mean, I stay at the Clifton Hotel in Tynmouth and also the Windermere Manor because of my familiarity with the hotels. But now that the hotels are mainstream, they don't provide that service, and of course, why should they?
And Lee, you're up in the Lake District. So how did Cumbrian Visions come about?
I saw what Julian was doing down in Devon, as I used to go down to Clifton myself. And I am nearer to Windermere. And I thought, I'm going to go up to Windermere and see what it's like. So my wife Jess and I went up there. It's a lovely hotel, but you can't do anything outside the hotel. There's pavementless roads. There's a lot of things you just aren't safe to do. And I thought, if Julian can do this down there, could I do this up here? There were volunteers who used to be involved with the scheme run by Guide Dogs and Action for Blind People after that, who still wanted to do it, but they were worried about insurance and support. And so I started to look into it with the help of the CVS in the area, Community Voluntary Service, which scared me silly when I saw what was involved. Getting liability insurance, for example, so that everyone feels protected. Doing the DBS checks, because at the end of the day, whether we like it or not, visually impaired people are counted as vulnerable adults. So we had to set all that up, come up with a name for the organisation and become a voluntary organisation, non-profit making. So it's had hoops, but we've got through them.
Right. Now, presumably, there's no reason why this couldn't be done anywhere. Are there plans at all, Jules, to go national with this?
I think what I would love to see is similar setups that are created and coordinated by visually impaired people for the benefit of visually impaired people. And the first place I would think of is Weston-super-Mare, because there is another hotel that used to be owned and run by the charities for visually impaired. And if somebody could create a similar scheme there to support the many visually impaired people who still visit Weston because of, you know, the familiarity of the hotel there, Lauriston, I think that would be a great first step.
Now, there's one thing I just want to ask you both. Quite obviously, Leslie and Ellie hit it off straight away, and they really did. I saw it happen. But to what extent are you able to match people up, you know, for temperament and interests and so on? And to what extent is it a bit of a lottery? Can I start with Lee on that one?
When we get the volunteers involved, we ask them what they like and don't like doing. And obviously, we're not going to make someone go shopping if they hate shopping. And we're not going to make someone do mile walks if they hate walking. So we learn about the volunteer. And then when we have someone approach us for the guiding assistance, we actually ask them a little bit about themselves. Have they got a guide dog and so on? And we match them up as closely as we can. Obviously, it's not foolproof, but we do our best.
No, we talked about this with Ellie and Leslie. You can imagine if you got the wrong person, you could drive each other mad.
Yeah.
Jules, people might think it's a bit odd doing this piece in September with summer almost gone, but I gather it's not that odd, is it?
It's not odd at all. I mean, we get requests for voluntary help mostly during the autumn, winter and spring, because it's a lot cheaper to travel.
And maybe not so crowded as well, which might help.
Very much so. I think my quietest times in the 2 years that I've been doing this have been sort of July, August time.
And just finally, Lee, do you think this could take off as a national thing? Because, you know, I think we've illustrated how well it can work, but could it go national?
Like Julian said, I think if people were to take it on board and take it all over the country, I think it would be a real asset. But it's having the confidence and know how to do it. I mean, I'd quite happily help anybody to launch themselves, definitely.
Well, there's a blueprint there, so let's see if other people pick up the challenge. Julian Griffin, Lee Hodgson, thank you both very much. And that's it for today, but we'd love to hear your holiday ideas and experiences. Would that scheme appeal to you? You can email in touch at bbc.co.uk or leave your voice messages on 0161 836 1338. From me, Peter White, and producer Beth Hemmings, goodbye.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.